Yes, we are, Mike. We are, Mike.
Right. So, you want the next?
Yep.
My first recollections is as a baby, or just while still in the pram, going to work with my mother and three or four more mothers that worked for Mr. A. They worked in the fields, actually doing pulling carrots, hoeing, pulling sprouts, everything else as that such.
But Mr. Hay didn't come into the village until 1949.
No.
So you couldn't have been in the pram.
I was in the pram when we went in.
Well,
or was it? Would it be Anson then?
It would be Anson's.
Would be Anson. It was that farm anyway.
It was Manor Farm.
Manor Farm, yes. And the main land which he had carrots and vegetables and things like that on was from the cemetery.
Right.
That way, on the back lane. Well, it isn't the back lane, it's...
Back road, we call it.
Yeah, back road.
Lane.
Yeah. So that was my first recollection. Working for him was, with my mother, was Mrs. Lightfoot, Mrs. Gardner. No, I can't remember anymore, but there was probably four or five which went to work daily. The reason they went daily was because we was little, we couldn't look after ourselves, and they couldn't take us to work. The main of the work at that particular time was at the ordnance factory, up Station Road. Most of the people worked there, but their mothers couldn't take the children with them.
Where was the ordnance factory?
Where the jam factory was. When the jam factory finished, it became an ordnance. We used to go as children there. Basically pinching what we could. Well, who did? There was quite a lot of us, there were quite a few in the village, but...
Recording that.
Yeah, well, he can take it out if he wants, but... they had everything there, and of course the army run that. Also in there we... used to visit the station where the coal yard was, and
could you tell me who was the coal merchant if the coal was delivered to the village?
It was delivered by train to the village.
Right, then you must have had a coal merchant.
We did, but I can't remember his name. Later on in things, it was Old Man Gell.
Right,
George Gell's father.
Right,
which used to do that. Also, there was most of the farms had horses. It was a matter of following the horses out, collecting manure for your gardens, doing what we could on there. And we all basically had limits to which part of the road the children was on. And most people did that.
Yeah. What was it like living in Barrack Yard?
Very quiet.
Was it a two-bed? No, was it a two-bedroomed house?
There was like bungalows. They were only single light.
Right.
When we were in. What they were before, I don't know. But as we moved in, everything was...
single story.
Single story, yeah. Right. Single story. And... Well, I was born there, so it would be when that.
And how many rooms did it have? Can you remember?
Two? Two little rooms, yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's quite small.
One that side, one, yeah. Yeah, very small they were, but...
And outside toilets and...
Outside toilets, yeah. Yeah. Wash houses, coal houses, you know, all outside. Luckily there, they weren't far away from the door. You didn't have to walk up the yard. And
you went to school at the primary school?
I went to Hambleton School, yes.
Who did you go to school with?
Geoffrey Baldry, Ken Parkin, Adela Gell, give her a proper name, Uttons, Rosemary and Lillian Hutton, Ralph Gardner, his sister, Joan, Lillian Turton, Emily Tan.
There's quite a lot of you there then? Yeah. At that time then?
At that time, yeah. Some of them were slightly older.
Yeah.
But there was quite a few, and we went from the infants. There was two classes in the school then. There was one in the big room and one infants in the small. And then the school altered and they put a sliding piece across to make two rooms.
Was that when you were in the... Were you about... How old were you? Was it...
Well, I was there from being 5 years old.
Yeah,
up
so...
to it, 11.
So it was
up
between that time...
Yeah. Yeah, it was between that time when that was done. Yeah. I left there in 1947 to go to Selby. We took our 11 plus exam at the high school because Selby was flooded and we couldn't get to Selby Secondary. So we got as far as the high school to take the exams. Generally, people did what they could in the village. They all mixed together. They all helped one another out. If one family was a bit hard up, they was put money in. If somebody wanted something new, again, they helped each other out again.
What did you do for pastimes? School, aside from school, you'd got long summer holidays.
We did have summer holidays, yeah. Again.
Did you have to help?
We did have to help, yeah.
On the fields?
Everything in the fields, yeah. We used to go, I would think from probably 8 or 9 years old, we had to go potato picking. We couldn't lift the baskets into the trailers, we were picking by basket. The farmers had somebody helping out, lifting the children's baskets up into the trailer, tipping in the trailer. We helped out with the corn when your malt kiln was a malt kiln, with the shovel as kids turned the malt over, the barley over. Generally it was all work. There was no pleasure as kids. You never got bored because there was something to do. I won't say parents made you do it, but they give you a sharp move to do it. And if you didn't do as you're told, you got some belt across you.
How long did you live in Chapel Street? What age were you?
Until them houses up Station Road was built, them council houses.
Oh, right.
And we moved into number 11 up there.
Right. Aged about?
What's that?
Tony was a
baby. Yeah, Tony was. Well, we would be 13. Up to about 13 or 14.
Oh, right. Yeah. That was when, were you... Had you moved into the
village then?
Had you moved into the village by then, Maureen?
Yes.
And where did you live?
Wheat Street.
Your father obviously was the landlord?
Yes.
And
we came from Robertton. We had a fish shop. And we came to Humbuck to the Wheat Street.
And did your father just run the Wheat Street on his own, or did your mother help?
Mother helped him, but she didn't like that lifestyle. She wasn't used to it.
Right. How long did you stay at the Wheat Chief?
Should imagine about 8 or 9 years.
From the age of?
12.
So until you were about 20, 21?
Yeah, somewhere.
He was still there. Yeah. He got married at 23 and we was in this house then. Not the white cottage.
Yeah. Right. So you got married...
1959.
And...
Watch Farm.
And you went to live in...
Whitehaven. You know the right cottage where Tony built?
Right, yes, yes. Oh, that was Whitehaven. Right, right.
And we moved into there.
Right.
I can remember the old boys, Mr. Pattison from the farm down...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chapel Street.
Right, yeah. Miss old Job Longbottom was George Longbottom's father, and Roland, his other son, lived at Gateford. Mr. Balderson, he lived in Gateforth Lane, in a little cottage next door to the Simpsons.
Whereabouts in Gateforth Lane did he live in relation to today's houses?
Right. You know where Mrs. Inglart's bungalow was?
Yes.
Up that little yard?
Yes.
Yeah, he lived in the Simpsons lived in the second one. Mr. Balderson lived in the next one. Alfie Foster lived with him because he was his uncle, and Betty, till they got the place of their own. Mrs. Coggan lived next door. Bill Coggan, her son, worked for Thompson's, the farmers. And in the end one was somebody called Dobsworth. Lived there, and that was the
who you knew at that time.
Yeah, the Mr. Sellers who left the wheat sheaf went into the gables that were built for them. The gables of Gateford Lane was the landlord of the wheat sheaf.
And what was living at the wheat sheaf like as a young girl?
Quite nice, quite pleasant. It was mainly the old men that used to come in. Harvest time, the Irishmen came from Ireland. They came to Thompson's, Ken Thompson's in them days, and they stayed there, about a dozen of them, did the harvesting. Then they stayed for potato picking. They used to come in, lovely people.
Did many women frequent the pub?
Not really. We used to have a pianist, Mrs. Heseltine. She used to come from Pontefract on a Sunday night and play the piano. I can recollect that. Harvest Festival we had every year in one of the big rooms. And Mr. Ray was the vicar then. He lived in Vicarage up Gateforth Lane. Used to come with his little basket to collect his bottle of beer and his few bits. Mr. Bosworth used to come, who had the nursery up Chapel Street. He would come regularly for his gin and tonic. No, his gin and vermouth. Just pop in for his gin and vermouth before or after his tea, evening meal, and there was the regulars.
Right. Was there much competition between the Wheat Sheaf and the Red Lion?
Not really. Dad was very friends with Len Brooks, who was at the Red Lion, Mr. and Mrs. Brooks. They used to go to Newmarket horse racing, and that's, I think, how Dad came to get the wheat sheep,
Yeah. So when your dad and mum left the wheat sheaf, where did they go? Where?
They came up to Lodge Farm.
Oh, they came up to Lodge Farm.
Yeah.
Right.
And we was up there, and Alan and I got married from there.
From Lodge Farm. Yes.
And church, and we stayed there for a few months. Then we bought the little cottage on the main road.
Whitehaven. Right. How long did you stay at Whitehaven?
Oh,
was just born. We moved into your house with Jeff and Joyce.
Well, yes, that was until 1973.
Well, that's when we came then. Adele, she was born in 70 and she was only little.
She was only 18 months when we moved into Hillside.
Yeah, where Hilltop.
We moved into there with Jeff and
Yes,
Joyce.
Yeah.
Till Lochbam was remade into two dwellings.
Yeah. After your father, it was your father that died.
No, Mum died first. And then Dad moved on and went to live in Leeds.
All right.
And
then divided the farm
into two.
All right.
There were happy days in the village. We used to have fancy dress.
What period was this? In the 50s, 60s?
Just before we were married, wasn't it? When we were still at the Wheat Sheaf.
It would be late 50s and into the 60s.
Mm. Yeah. We used to go, there was always having fancy dress and dances at the old school. Can you tell me who that girl is? Best days of our life, that was. School. The boy's me and the girl is who lived in your farmhouse.
All right.
Edna Sena.
All right. Mrs. Sena, who eventually she moved up to Gateforth Lane.
Married Todd Hardy.
Yes.
Yeah. And we used to go regular to fancy dresses.
We did that.
Really? I'm just going to turn this off a minute. You have some cine film which you've put onto DVD.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about it, please?
Yeah, it was Ambleton School. It was the village theatre, Ambleton New School. Adele, our daughter, went as Red Riding Hood. I think there was about 7 Red Riding Hoods that day. And she won it. I think it was the dog that won it, because the dog had a poncho, a little bonnet, and some glasses. So I think it was the dog that won, because all the others were all dressed lovely in the red outfits, but Adele had Wellingtons and a rain hood on. Andrew went as a Dalek, but he couldn't walk in it a long way from the village green to the school. So the police put him in the van and took him up in the van, directing traffic, the police. And when they got all the traffic away, they put him in the police van and took him up there in the van. Then there was Morris dancing in the village. We also had Centenary, the Methodist Church. I think that was Elder Mr. and Mrs. Lister's, because it was raining at the farm, in the farm yard and on the lawns. And there was Grandma Ray and Frank Twaits. Grandma Ray was in a hot pants and a frilly knickers, and Frank Twaits was there, Mrs. Holland, you know. Then another time we've got of the crowning of the school queen, and I think it was Jane Ironmarsh was the school queen, and the four Errols was Andrew Ray and Anthony Bell, Paul Wordsworth and Andrew, it was from up
there. Can't remember.
No. Are you still okay? Andrew, They came into the village and then the son moved.
Oh, right.
You know. Yeah. But I've just forgot his name. Just.
Right.
But with all those, Old Cine and Mrs. Dibbs, who was one of the infant teachers. Yeah. With all that on.
So this would be in the 1970s? 1960s, 70s?
70s, really, because Andrew was born 66, so he wouldn't start till 71, would he?
Yeah, it was.
So it would start from then.
70s.
So, but there was happy times then. Everybody seemed to join in and make things for the kids and do things and put them on.
Participate.
Yeah. We once went to Monk Fryston. I sat up all night and Alan sat talking to me. We was on holiday. Sat talking to me. I was sewing buttons on the costumes that went as Pearly King and Queen. Mr. Lowry at the time was the vicar of Monk Fryston and said, would we go to the fancy dress there, and we went. They got best dressed turnout, but the best dress, the best fancy dress was a little boy with a piece of wood across his shoulders and some white paper, one for the Potter tea bag. And we spent hours and hours sewing buttons on it.
Can I just go back to roughly 40s, when it must have been quite austere in the village because it was wartime.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And can you tell me? And do either of you know about ration books?
Yes, we all had ration books.
And what it was like to go shopping.
I can't remember that.
Well, basically the shopping was done in the village because people used to come round with the vans. And everybody, he used to show you what they had in the business book. See what you wanted to order, then bring that and another one similar to make sure when you got it that you had choice. This was basically Wetherill's out of Selby.
Varley's.
Peacock. Varley used to come round with the van with
Hardware
on, yeah.
Did we have any shops in the 40s in the village that you remember?
Three.
Yeah.
One. One that's all bits and pieces. What was the old post office? That was a shop. The old man Twaits had. He was also, he used to go around the village killing pigs because everybody had their own pig. Whether they'd run for it or not, they used to make it all, passing it on, simply because of the wartime and the rations. There was Marjorie Thompson's mother and father. There was Gail Gibson on the main road, and where Adel Nix lives was Miss Elliot's shop then. Well, firstly it was John Arthur Trees. Then Miss Elliot took him in. She used to sell little bits and pieces. Nothing big, but you could always get a few sweets and bits and pieces there.
Was there ever a bakery or a that kind of thing?
Not that I ever remember.
Right.
No, what about the butchers?
Oh, well, there was the butcher.
Yeah, the butcher, that's yes. Later that's on, later yeah. on, wasn't it, in the 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did Madge sell?
Everything. Oh, they, well, it was basically Madge's mother.
Yes,
Really. Yeah, basically everything that you needed to... nothing clothes-wise,
no.
All eatable bits and pieces. And same with Mrs. Gibson up here.
Mrs.
Yeah.
Was Gellan, your dear?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. That one was basically a shop where you could get what you wanted.
And, yeah. I understand the fish and chip shop was near the stone houses, stone cottages.
Yeah, it was the end of them stone cottages.
Marjorie Elliott owned it.
Afterwards, Marjorie and my mother had it after. Fat Blanche Elcroft. That's what everybody knew her as, Fat Blanche. That would be Myra's grandmother.
Yeah, it was.
It was, yeah. They lived up Station Road and, everybody basically knew everybody else. And
you used to go fetch fish from the station.
Oh, we did, when we had the fish shop.
And everybody was related to everybody else, by all accounts, in the 1940s.
They were. Most people at that time was from gypsy stock. Gypsies moved into the village, hence Camplain.
Travellers.
Camplain was known, and they all moved in from Leeds and Scotland and all over.
That's where...
They all moved into Camp Lane, and as houses came available, they were moved into houses. And they was all interbred. Which in them days, my mother was called Ransom, her brother was called Howie. Hence we related to Howies. Well, it's down and then.
When you lived in Barrack Yard, living conditions must have been quite primitive.
Very primitive. In actual fact, we had one lamp, paraffin lamp, which we could get paraffin from quite a lot of private people sold paraffin. Probably five or six different people in the village. They must have had some understanding with the... Because everything was rationed, you could only have so much paraffin. So therefore, when the paraffin ran out, unless you knew somebody or knew where you could go and nick it, you had candles.
Well, that's the way it was.
Being in Barrack Yard, they all was there. And a chap called Tinsdale had it then. And you could always get a drop of paraffin off the people in the chef's department. You could always get a drop of paraffin there. You could always, if it come to the crunch, old Bill Bradley that lived in your farm. He used to get it from somewhere and nobody ever knew where. Because at that particular time he was the only man with a tractor. Everybody else had horses. So
the first tractor was actually at Garth Farm?
Yes, Bill Bradley. Single wheel on front, Alice Chalmers tractor. Well, two wheels at an angle at front. And... he was the first one to have them. They gradually came time to time. Even Anson didn't have them, he still had horses. We used to go as little kids to help to look after the horses and, they would take them out, let them into the field and then say, take some corn or something for them. Even though they was out on grass, there was always fed well those horses.
I understand George Longbottom's father worked for the Ansons and looked after their horses.
He did. Yeah. Right old man. Oh, I'll give him to you.
That's good. Yes. Yes,
he did.
And where did George live? Where did George live?
Taylor's cottages, this end one.
Oh, they lived in Taylor's cottages.
Yeah, there was three cottages there. Dropstown, Wardbys, and George Lumberton's dad. and George, and all of them in there at that particular time.
Right, right, right. What did in the house? Did you have anything like a radio for entertainment?
Yes.
In the house.
Yes.
So, what? How was that?
That
I mean, there was no electric.
It was a battery operated one, and you had to go and buy the batteries, and get the, what was called an accumulator. You used to have that charged up. Now, nobody in the village used to charge them. Early on, we had to go to Mountfriston Garage, which is the car wash. It was a little wood nut. Our Thorpe Willoughby, again, was a little wood nut, the garage there. And we could always get these accumulators charged up there. I forget how much, I think it was sixpence or something like that, to get them charged up. That was the only entertainment.
Really?
Was these radios, nothing else.
Right.
Nothing else, and the biggest part of the time you could get nothing on, you were sat fiddling with the knobs, turning one way and then the other to try and get something.
Can you tell me, can you remember the prices of anything? You know, can you remember maybe what a loaf of bread was, or sweets? I mean, they used to deal in farthings or halfpennies.
Oh, yeah, there was less than that. You know, if you wanted a quarter of sweets or something like that, there was a penny or twopence, depending on what sort of sweets you wanted. And it seemed to go down pretty well then. And as I say, we was limited to with ration books on what we could get.
Have you any idea what wages were like in the village?
I haven't at that particular time, but my first wage when I started work at Hambleton Garage for Mr. Wells, Arthur Wells, he owned that after the army finished with it. He took over that garage, these Nisnuts, you'll probably remember them.
Trevor does?
Yeah. Yeah, Arthur Wells took over them and you made a garage out of it. And my first wage was 28 shilling a week.
And you and your family
that
had...
That 15.
That was at 15?
Yeah, yeah. And of course you had to hand over, I don't know, probably £1 or £1.50. There wasn't that sort of money.
Yeah.
To your parents. You know,
to help towards the running of the house and to help feed you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, board and lodgings.
Board and lodgings.
Yeah, yes. That's what it was known as. So we, you know, we went on for that.
And you moved to Station Road and you eventually got electricity.
Yes. That was the first electricity we had, it was in Station Road when the council houses were built, yeah.
Right. And they were built... Prior to the war, I believe. Were they built prior?
No, they were built
after the war.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, they were. They were, because there was actually after them up, there was far up
Chapel Street,
council houses, four doubles, eight houses. The others were built after. These were there before the war, up this end. But
So life changed considerably because you'd have an inside toilet.
We had inside toilets. Everything else.
Well, there was just you went through a back door. And
yeah, well, there was a toilet, wasn't
it? Yeah. So
I'd having to go out.
Yeah, back in Barrack Yard. Did you have, you had water in the house?
No, we'd one tap in the yard.
You had one tap in the yard?
One tap in the yard and everybody had to go to that tap. But if the owl was drawing water, which they did more than anything else, it was one supply, you had to wait. You got a few dribbles and you had to wait for them.
Right. During this period, what function did the owl have? A restaurant? Was it a hotel?
It was a hotel. It was a hotel there. It was basically for the top class.
Right.
People that they thought were top class.
Yes.
I thought they were. They all came on pony and traps. There was no cars about. And it gradually got to that pitch. Same with the doctor that came round, Dr. Mary and her husband, McCandlish. They yep. came in pony and traps at first, when we were smaller, as kids. They gradually got cars as things moved on, and...
How long was it before we got the surgery down Station Road?
Quite a while after.
In the 50s? Or would it be in the 60s?
Probably 60s, I would think. It's quite a while because doctors used to come every, you know, when you wanted them. You'd either to go to South Milford because she was based there. And you used to have a day in this village, a day in that village. And but no, I can't remember when the surgery, but it was quite a long while after.
Right, right.
Quite a long while after.
Right.
Right. So and, go on, carry on.
You've always had electricity and running water, obviously, with the wheat chief.
Yes.
So you don't know any of these basic deprivations that existed in village life, really.
No.
No, no.
When we came down to Lodge House, the toilet was outside in a little wooden place, and then Dad finally got one, a plumber in to put one in, like the washhouse, and inside.
But you had running water
all the time. We had an old black fireplace, the old fashioned. Mum used to bake all her bread, all her cakes, oven cakes, the lot, and she used to go saw apple trees up off in the orchard. She'd shove under the oven and rest it on a chair, and she'd keep shoving it under, and she could bake as good as anyone, and baking them was always first class, you know.
Really? Yeah.
Dad used to, before he came to Ambleson in the war, he used to drive Wally Sarnell buses in Leeds,
right,
and take girls from Ambleson, Lucy Twaits
and Enid,
and that to
Brough.
Really?
In the wartime, pick the girls really up, was my...
Really?
Yeah.
Because they worked there?
Oh. They worked at Brough.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, and quite a lot out of the village also worked at
Barlow Camp. Bus loads. Dad drove one and another drive. Wally Sarnell's was. They used to come out of Leeds and pick through the villages. And Ambleson village, Enid, used to say about catching bus. Dad waiting outside Red Lion for her. Yeah.
Right.
So, as I say, he had contacts with the village, really, before we moved into the village.
Yeah. What did he, when he left the wheat chief, what did he do? I mean, it was classed as a farm, was Lodge Farm.
Yeah.
So was it a farm or was it a small holding?
It was a small holding. He used to grow potatoes, vegetables, and he had a little transit.
Not far down, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he used to go around the village selling vegetables. Fresh eggs. We had hens and fresh eggs, and that's what he did for a living when we left the wheat sheaf.
Right.
Yeah.